Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Chet, and we're just going to run over again. Rava, remember yesterday we were talking about the idea that it's okay to drink wine, and Rava says to drink wine is the a lot of wine on Erev Pesach, because that's gorer. Now, just you should know, some say when it says a lot of wine, it means only a lot of wine, not a little bit of wine, because that's misetzoit, which we'll talk about later, because it doesn't fit with the raya. The raya that Rava brings, this was the last thing, that's why I wanted to really put it off till today, is ditznan, and this is the first word on kufchet, that beina kosot halal, we're going to get into this later, that between the first and second kos, and between the second and third kos, where over there, it's still before the matzah, im ratza lishtot yishteh. If he wants to drink, then he can drink, which seems to be saying to drink as much as you want, even though it's before the matzah. Now, that's weird. I mean, if we're so careful the whole day long to make sure that we're eating matzah l'teyavon, so then why would that be okay? It must be because, obviously, it's not going to make you full. And in fact, it's going to increase your appetite. But ben shlishi l'revi'i lo yishteh. If you're talking about the, between the third and the fourth, so then there's two possibilities. Why you're not allowed to, because over there, that's talking about after you finish the matzah, the third cup, as you'll recall, is the kosher bracha, birkat hamazon. What would be the point of drinking then? And if anything, there's two approaches to this. If anything, it looks like you're being mosif ala kosot, if you're bedavka drinking, and or there's another time, in the Yerushalmi, also we're concerned for the fact that you may actually get too high and not be able to say your halal with kavana and so on. So we don't want you to drink at that point. What about all the wine, the Gemara asked there? What about all the wine that you drank during the meal? I mean, you're probably on your 30th course by now if you're really having a good time. And the Gemara says, because yayin betocha su'udah is not mishaker. But afterwards, it is mishaker. When you stopped eating, then it's going to have a bigger impact on you. So now my point, says Rava, is that e amrit mis'at sa'id, if you're going to tell me that you're going to end up ruining your appetite, so then how would they allow you to do that? So amay yishteh doesn't give you over here any iser and they tell you, you know, what not to drink. And then you'll be eating your matzah chila gasa. So you see from here that actually it must increase your appetite. Now, again, it's not saying over here how much, right? So it's a little bit strange because, I mean, if you're telling me that, then the idea is not necessarily a lot of wine. We'll talk about that when we get to the Psak Halach at the end of today's learning. Rav Sheshes have a Yosef Tanit to come alayum of the Pischa, and Rav Sheshes, he had this strange minhag of fasting the entire day on Erev Pesach. Now, what would be the basis for that? Maybe, and this is an interesting chap, maybe Rav Sheshes holds that actually the meaning of the Mishnah is Samach L'mincha Gedola. If it means Samach L'mincha Gedola, then what is the basis for the takana not to drink? The base, or eat, the basis is that you're not going to bring your Korban Pesach in time. And he also holds, according to the Shita of Rav Hoshaya Omer Rabbi Elazar, that the Korban Pesach, actually the chiyuv of bringing the Korban Pesach, is from the morning. So therefore, according to him, what the Gemara was entertaining about the issue of Samach L'mincha Gedola would actually be applicable immediately in the morning. So because of that, he didn't eat the entire day. Maybe that's the pshat. Kiyodi Omer Rav Hoshaya Omer Rabbi Elazar and Makshiraya ben Besera Pesach Shishachto Shachris B'arba Asa Lishmo. So Dafka, it's not considered to be the Zman before, in which case it would only be kosher as a Shalomim, not Lishmo. No, on the contrary. So because of that, he basically holds that Mitzafra from the morning, it's already considered to be the Zman of Pesach. Whoa, how in the world does he learn Beina Arbaim? He learns Beina Arbaim means between yesterday's evening and today's evening. That's what it was. So in other words, at the end of the night, which is the end of the yesterday's Erev, and tonight. So that gives him the whole day. So this way, according to him, kuleyam b'chazir l'pischa, and he holds bein arbaim bein erev de'et mola erev de'aidna. So Rav Sheshes, if he was going in the shita ben b'teira, he would basically end up saying that from the very beginning of the day, you're already in the middle of planning your Korban Pesach, bringing your Korban Pesach, and therefore he holds that the yisr bein of samach l'mincha would actually apply to breakfast. Says the Gemara, no, it doesn't have to mean anything like that. He might even hold that it's Mincha Katana. The point of Rav Sheshesh is a personal issue, and that is that Shiny Rav Sheshesh, the Eastern is having, Rav Sheshesh was a very sensitive individual, where itam b'tzafra mire, then l'urta l'avimani le'michla. He had a very, very limited appetite. If he ate something, then it would be the end of the meal for the day for him. So if he had a breakfast, he already couldn't eat supper. The next thing that we learned, and we'll talk about this, by the way, in terms of its implications, that the halacha of achila is also defined very much by the individual. In other words, somebody who knows that something will affect him. You see from here, apparently, the question is that achiyav or not. We'll talk about the sheet of the rush when we get to the halachas. The next thing, okay, so this finishes. We've now finished Arvei Pesachim, why only Arvei Pesachim? We've now finished Samuch L'mincha. Now we're up to the Afilu Oni Shebi Yisrael, Lo Yochal Achi Yasev. Now, the question is, what exactly is included in this mitzvah of Hasiba? So Itma, Matzah Tzorich Hasiba. The din of eating the matzah as a Ben Chorin, which is the inyan of Hasiba, is that basically it's a remez to the geula. And the matzah is actually a remez to the geula. But morar ain't tzarech hasiba, because that is actually a remez to the tsar. The question is, would you even be allowed to eat b'hasiba if you're supposed to be re-experiencing the tsar? Again, that we'll discuss in the halacha. Yayin, how about the wine, the arba kosot? So it's interesting. Wine, not necessarily arba kosot, but some wine. So we have two apparently contradictory statements of Rav Nachman. Itmar mishbeta Rav Nachman, that you do need hasiba. And there's another Kabbalah from Rav Nachman, itmar mishbeta Rav Nachman, that ain't tzarich hasiba. And there's no problem here. V'lo pligi, it's not that these were two lashonos in Rav Nachman. It's habetarte kase kamoi and habetarte kase basroi. The four cups are separated into two sets of two. And one of those sets requires hasiba, and one of those sets does not require hasiba. The only question is, what direction do we look at it? And this is fascinating because it has implications for the entire atmosphere of the of what it is that we're doing at that point in the Seder. So the ambience is very different. So Some say the first two kosot do require the hasiba, because the point that you're making now is the contrast to the story that you're saying. In other words, here we are as B'nai Chorin, and we're talking about the terrible situation that we were in as the Avonim Ayinu L'Faro B'Mitzrayim. So the Hashtu Deko Matchale Cherut, so it's now that we are talking about the way in which we are, because we are now looking back at the Haggadah. And therefore, between the two kosot, that's the time that the Haggadah is read. So the ambience should be the ambience of B'nai Chorin. But the Trei Kasei Batrai Lo Boi Hasiba, there's no need to specifically be masiv at the last two, because Maida Havi Havi. Basically, over here, once we are no longer involved in the actual story of what happened that was Gorim, all of that, whatever. So however, you know, it's over. We are B'nai Chorin, and we're not coming to contrast it. But the other approach is the exact opposite. And again, this is important for the ambience. So Amri Lala Haigisa, Adarabba. The Trei Krasi Kamoi. Let's start with the Trei Kasi Basroi. The last two kosot which follow the period of Avonim Ayinu, the Faro B'Mitzrayim, and now we're being Mahalel, and we're saying Birkat Hamazon on these last kosot, that requires Hasiba, because it's only after going through the Haggadah that now we are allowing ourselves to have that experience, Ki'ilu Hu Yatsa Mimitzrayim, and now you are in that state of Cherut. So Ayi Shaita Dekahavi Cherut. But the first two kosot, you should not actually lobo yasiva, because you're trying to still experience the avadim ayinu lefaro b'mitzrayim, and therefore it would be something of a contradiction if you're only looking at it from the perspective of being a ben chorin, looking back on Avonim Ayinu Lefaro B'Mitzrayim. So Akati Avonim Ayinu Ka'amar. You're talking about being an Eved. Now, basically, since we have two very different ways of understanding what it is that we're supposed to do, and we know that there was a takana of Hasiba, so Ashta de Itmar Hochi ve Itmar Hochi, Ili ve Ili bo Hasiba, we have to be Machmir, like both of these, and take the idea into consideration that even though we are experiencing Avdus, we're experiencing Avdus from the perspective of B'nai Chorin. And that when, in fact, we are now after, and we're at a point at which we're singing and Hallel and so on, we need to actually say that that is something that we are experiencing fully for the first time only now. So we're Machmir in both directions. And, of course, this would have implications in Halacha if you weren't sure if you did the Hasiva and whether you have to re-drink the Kosot. Again, we're going to talk about this after and when we get to the Halachas. Prakdan loshme hasiba. So first of all, lying on your back is not considered to be hasiba. Hasiba is only on your side. Now the question is why that's true. By the way, remember that there's always the other sheet of prakdan, which is lying on your stomach. And that's very difficult. I mean, how would you eat lying on your stomach exactly? So the question over here, what is the problem of the prakdan? Is it because that's not the derech of Hasiba? Is it because you need to have your right hand free? That's the next thing. Is it because it's dangerous, because your epiglottis is pulled open when you lie back, and that will allow perhaps your food to get into your trachea? That's already a question. Rashi learns the latter pshat, which makes sense. In terms of the biological reality, the question of whether hasiva yemin lov shma hasiva, if you lie on your right side, then it adds velo od el shema yaktim kana levesha. Now Rashi learns the words velo od is going back on the prakdan, that we're concerned that since you are basically putting pressure on the epiglottis to open up, so you may end up by yavali de sakana. You may end up having food go down your windpipe, and it'll get there before the esophagus. Now, note the strange language. Get there before the esophagus. And Rashi doesn't deal with that strange language. The Rashi, by the way, you know, I never mentioned to you why we don't use Rashi in Arvei Pesachim. Now, you need to know that there were actually three separate, what are called medurot of Rashi. And they had separate purposes. I'm not talking about the way that Rashi would constantly revise and fix. That was all the Madurah Shlishit. But what he did initially is he wrote two other Pirushim, which do not have his characteristics in them. The first of his Pirushim was without any kind of explanation. It was basically writing down immediately after he had learned from his Rabbeim, writing down the way that he had learned. And he didn't offer embellishments there, and he didn't offer tamim unless they were offered to him directly. Then there was another pirush, which was not meant to be his final presentation of the Gemara, and it's not written as a presentation, which is the beauty and the sharpness and the sense of communicating with a Rebbe that you have when Rashi is there. He only added the additional issues that he wanted to include in his presentation in the Mahadura Ashniya. And in the Mahadura Shlishit, then he got his characteristic tones and so on into it, which gives us this tremendous feeling for Rashi and knowing Rashi as an individual and the sense of closeness that we have to his pirush that is just so remarkable. The pirush that we have in Arvei Pesachim, the only one of the Mahadurot of Rashi that survived was the Mahadura Rishona. And because of that, people don't use it because it was not his final word on the subject, and it was only the way that he had been originally mekabelet. In any event, the Rashbam does make reference to it often. And over here, he makes reference to the Rashi that we have, and he says that according to Rashi, the problem is the prakdan is what it's referring to, Shema Yaktim Kona Levesha. Now, he says, I don't like that pshat. And I don't like that pshat, because why does it say between the prakdan, if the shema yaktim kona leveshet was going on the prakdan, so then why does it say hasivat yamin lav shema hasiva? So there's two lashonos over there. So the hasivat yamin lav shema hasiva, because of the derech rashi, or because of the fact that you need your right hand in order to eat. Then if it's your right hand, obviously if you're a lefty, it's going to be a different halacha for a lefty. Again, we'll talk about that in the halachas after we finish the Gemara. But in any event, the lo od is saying not only that, but you might get food down your esophagus. So the question is, as I point, I never saw anybody explaining this properly, but the question is exactly what is meant by Shema Yaktim Kona Leveshet. So, I mean, in terms of opening the epiglottis and not protecting, the epiglottis is this little flap that covers over your windpipe to prevent food from getting into your lungs. So if that is pulled open, the way Rashi is saying, so then you've got a problem, because then you can easily get food into your lungs. The Rashbam, the idea over here is in the Rashbam, is specifically because of the fact that it is yakdim kana leveshet, means that the food will get into your windpipe before it gets to the esophagus, which leads the Rashbam to talk about, it's not only the Rashbam, it's before the Rashbam as well, to talk about the question that if you're lying, you're leaning towards your right, then the food is more likely to hit the esophagus, to hit the windpipe before it hits the esophagus because of the position of the windpipe, which is really a little bit weird because the esophagus is not different on the right or the left. It's behind the windpipe. And because of that, so some learned that it has to do with the angle at which the bronchi branch. And because of that, it's easier to get food actually into your lungs if you lean towards the right. But it wouldn't explain a lotion of yaktim kona leveshet. So I'm not quite sure how that would work, unless it's Rashi's pshat. Because according to Rashi, since the windpipe is in front of the esophagus, if the epiglottis is pulled up, so then yakdim, literally, yakdim kona leveshet. The food's going to hit the windpipe before it hits the esophagus and has a chance of going down your windpipe. That's true. Okay. Anyway, but there's two approaches as to where the sakana is, which also, by the way, leads us to nafkamina's lahalacha, as we'll see, about the lefty and things like that. Now, what about people that are chayev and hasiva? Who exactly is chayev? Isha etzel ba'ala lo ba'i hasiva. So a woman, if she's in front of her husband, does not require hasiva because of the respect due to her husband. That's one approach. And the question is, that would make it absolutely necessary to read Eitzel Baala. Some don't have the Nusach of Eitzel Baala. And they said that the Tzedin in any woman, even someone who's not married, and it's simply because it was not the derech of women to be doing the Hasiba. It's too suggestive, lying on a bed while you're eating. And women wouldn't do that. And in Rome, don't do as the Romans do, because it's sort of dangerous with these animals around you. So no woman would lie down on a couch at a seudah with a bunch of Romans. So it was not the derech. Isha, so that's two different lashonos. The im isha chashuvah, now she's a very choshev woman, so then she was treated like royalty, and then she was given the same type of chashivas as a male, even then, so then she is mitzuvah in a siva. Ben etzel aviv does require hasiva. And the question is, what if his father is also his rebbe? We'll talk about that in the Gemara after doing the next little piece, because Ibailu talmid etzel rabo mai. Is a talmid supposed to be masiv in the presence of his rebbe? This is not only his rebbe muvak. This is any rebbe, as we'll see from the next lashon. So, and the question is, can he ask Rishus? There are those who hold that it's even a chutzpah to ask Rishus. He shouldn't even ask Rishus. If the Rav tells him that he should, that's something else. Toshma. So ask the Gemara, The answer is the Omer Abaye Kevina Beimar. So when we were learning by Rabba, we used to lean on each other's laps because you're not allowed. It's not considered to be asiba just to lean over, to leaning on something. So we would lean on each other. Now from here we learn that you do not lean on your own lap. You're not supposed to, because that looks more like misery and avelut, and it's certainly not the derech of Bnei Chorin. And then when we came to Rav Yosef's yeshiva, Rav Yosef says nobody needs to lean at all. Mora rabach, kemora shamayim, and therefore there's no problem of eating in this very uncomfortable way. Ask the Gemara, Meisvet. You're saying that you do not lean in front of a Rebbe, and here it says, Yimakol adam meisav, afilu talmid etzel rabo. Now, the easy answer to this question would be what? That one is talking about Rabo Muvhak, and one is talking about just someone that is teaching you, but is not your Rav Muvhak. But the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says Rabo over here means your auto mechanic teacher. And that is also a teacher. So it's saying that even though there is an element of honor and respect due to any teacher, whether it is your math teacher, your carpenter teacher, it's talking about being an apprentice. So that's a Rav, we call him. So Kitanya Agi Bishuya de Nagre, that over there, there's no Isser of acting in a way that isn't like totally Mechubad. And of course, there you're Bechuyev. Iboilu, what about the waiter? Is the Shamash also Chayev in Hasiva, or do we say, look, I mean, it's not the derech of a waiter to be Yoshev as Bnei Chorin. His position is to be waiting. So what is the halacha? Tashma the Omer of Yeshua ben Levi, Hashamash she'achal kezayit matzah, kishu hu meisev yatsa. He's only going to be yotze if he ate one kezayis at least while he was leaning. But you see from your dafka, meisev yes, but lo meisev no. Shmamina boy hasiba, we paskin from here indeed. Shmamina, that even the waiter has got to act as a ben chorin, and it has nothing to do with your current position. The Omer Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, you should know that women are also chayavot in the arba kosot halal. You might have thought that, look, this is a mitzvah sasesh asman gorma, essentially, it's a rabbonan. The rabbonan would have been mitakein, the same way that they're mitakein always me'ein diorita, so the woman shouldn't be chayevet in four kosot. In this case, however, they are chayev because of the fact she'af hein hayu b'oto hanes. Now, there's a big machlokas we've shown that we've had every time this comes up when it talks about Hanukkah, when it talks about Megillah. Does af hein hayu b'oto hanes mean that they were central to the making of the nes? So that would be important in the Megillah, obviously, because of Esther, or the story of Yehudis in the Hanukkah, or the story of Noshim Tzidkonios, that Bezchutan were Yatsumi Mitzrayim, and the whole business about Yocheved and Miriam and so on. So that's one way of learning, which was the way that the Rashbam understands it. And the Tosis Tanya is, but look, I mean, there's other places where we say, Afein ayu boto sakana in the Yerushalmi Mashman, that the issue is that when women are saved, any takona that is a zecher to the nes is something that would be mechuyev, the person, mechuyev a person who was part of what the nes was for. Okay, so it's a very different approach, whether there's like a special place for women, which causes us to go against the normal Hagdorah of Isha and the mitzvahs aseh shazman gorma, and that would mean we have a different way of looking at the presence of women in the context of the Seder, which would mean that the inyonim that are specific to women give them a special place at the Seder. I don't know of any woman who feels that way about Purim. They all, I think, pretty much hate Purim. So but you know, maybe that's just cleaning up the throw up and so on. Maybe it's not an expression of the dinim of Purim. I don't know. But I mean, you would think that if men really understood the halacha according to the way that Rashbam and Rashi explain it, so then women would have a slightly better Purim, wouldn't you think? But okay, that's the reality. Omar Ravuda Omar Shmuel. Now these arba kosot, we haven't talked about how much there's supposed to be in each one of these arba kosot. Now, look, they need to have the amount of undiluted wine that would be able to have a mezigas kos yafeh. So a mezigas kos yafeh turns out will mean properly diluted wine, which is three parts water to one part of the wine at the time, which many people understand as being particularly heavy-duty wine that we don't have, which I find very difficult to believe, but I just think that they used to drink the wine in different proportions because they had nothing else to drink. Remember, anything else that you drank could kill you. You wouldn't drink water. You'd have to boil the water first, which is a tremendous thing. I know Barnea has a lot of things to say about this. We've discussed it before. So they used to drink wine as the normal drink. And it's rather difficult to believe that they wouldn't have actually utilized the alcohol in the wine to clean out the water, which means that they wouldn't be looking for heavy-duty wine. So the minhag was to drink 3-to-1 mixture. So that is what would be called a kedei mezigas kos yafeh. I think Barnea has some recent research on the topic and wanted to share it with us. And he also says he's soothing this morning, so he's probably going to offer us soothing issues of the
now we're talking. I was wondering how much Rebbe needs to have a mezigas kos yafeh for the shir, but I think we did discuss this before. That Dr. Shirley Drury, who is a winemaker himself and is an expert and teaches winemaking and studies the archaeology, says that in Europe they have 22% sun, and therefore the grapes only ripen to a certain amount. In our modern day market, is a European market, whereas here the sun was much more intense, and they let it ferment and get very thick and diluted. And there's a place in Marav Binyamin where with holes cut into stone, they think that that's the helios, that it's sun. There's a suggestion of Shad is that it's a sun, particularly sun-ripened mass, and it was very, very intense. So they had to dilute it. It was not drinkable as such.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, certainly you are right according to the way the Rishonim generally take the sugya. So I'm assuming if there's a basis for it, then it makes sense. But the evidence of wine that's been found, certainly European wine and so on, is not that it's any stronger than the wine that we have, or that the way that the Romans preserved wine using lead and so on. So I don't know. I push it, don't know. But I mean, it certainly makes sense that they could not afford to drink that amount of wine every day if that was their main drink, right? Okay, anyway, so what does this mean? So what we're assuming now is that it means that all of the arba kosas together should have enough wine to mix one kos yafeh. And that would mean that the pure wine for all of the arba kosas would only be a revias of a revias, because it would then be a full revias for all four kosot. Now, we know, of course, that that's not true. We're going to clarify that it means every single kos would need this. Now, if lamaitza, all you have is yayin chai, then you'd have to drink yayin chai. But what it means over here is that you need at least a revias of a revias of yayin chai in each one of your kosot so that you could be mosig them. But that's what it'll mean in the end. Shita an chai. So if you didn't you weren't mosing them, you drank them without any dilution, pure wine, you were yotzei. If you drank all four cups together, you were also yotzei. We're going to talk about this in a minute because it doesn't make sense. And not only that, but if you gave your wine, some of the wine to drink to your kids and other members of the household, you were also yotzei. So now let's go through this piece by piece because it really doesn't seem to make sense. So we said, Shetan Chai, Shmuel's Maimer, was if you drink them without diluting, you were yotzei. Omar Rava, let me explain what that means. It means, now what the Gemara is about to do, gentlemen, on the surface looks very weird. How do you say yotzei if you don't really mean yotzei, your chiyav of arba kosos? What the Gemara is doing is pointing out the various elements of the chiyav that we need to tease apart. And therefore, each one of the Maimorim of Shmuel is telling us some new aspect of a chiyav that you might not have known if you just have a black and white yes or no. The din is that in none of these cases were you yotzei. And yet the din is in all of these cases you were yotzei. That means that we need to tease apart the various chiyuvim that we're talking about. And that's why the Gemara does this in this fashion, because that makes you aware of what all of the issues are. So because of that, Shmuel says, if you drank it without diluting it, you'd be yotze. Yes, you'd be yotze what, says Rava? You'd be yotze the fact that there is a chiyuv of drinking 4 cups of wine. But a fundamental part of that chiyuv is to be drinking that wine derech cheirus. And this is not called derech cheirus. And therefore, yidei cheirut lo yatsa. You were not yotze it correctly. So even though you did drink arba kosot, you did not do this mitzvah as it's b'chuyiv to be done, which is to do it b'derech cheirus. Then we said, if you drink them all together, you were yotze. Says Rav, wait a minute. Obviously, you weren't really yotze. You were only yotze the din of yayin, because you had wine, and the Rabbanan included in this issue of yayin the inyan of Simchas Yontev, and they want you to be high and happy. That you were yotze, but you certainly were not yotze your chiv of the Arba Kosot, because the Arba Kosot is specifically on each particular element that you are going to be maskir, you need to have yayin with it. That's the inyan of 4 separate kosot. And if you drink these 4 kosot all together, you are not yotzi your chiyuv of 4 kosot. Some learn that means you poured them all into 1 cup, but others say no. Even if you drank 4 separate cups, one after the other, you're not yotzi the chiyuv of 4 kosot. Now let's take a look at the next part, which is really the 4th part of Shmuel's Chiddush. Hishkami and Laban of Neveso Yotzi. If you gave them to your kids or other members of the table, you'd be yotzi, says Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Now, when you say you'd be yotzi, it does not mean that you'd be yotzi your own chiyuv. It only means that if you were shoyse ruba de kasev, you drank most of the cup, we'll see what that shear is, so then you would be yotzi. Now, there's many different approaches, which we'll talk about in the halacha. According to the Ramban, the idea of rov kos means rov kos. So if you are drinking out of one of these, you know, super-duper kosher elios size, and you've got, you know, a chazanish shear doubled in your wine, you ain't going to make it out of that seder, because you have to drink rov of that kos, according to the Ramban. It doesn't mean rov kos in terms of rov of your chiyuv. This is a big difference between the dinim of the arba kosos and the dinim of kiddush. In kiddush, we're talking about the brocha over the kiddush, but over here we have a specific idea of having in mind a brocha for this specific kos, and therefore if the kos itself is chashiv. In kiddush, the kos is a container of the wine, but at the seder, this is the Ramban Svara, at the Seder, the kos is the mitzvah. Brilliant insight. In which case, when it says rov kos, it actually means rov kos. What a wonderful way of seeing the difference, huh? Okay, well, we'll talk about this also in the halachas after the daf. Okay, Mace.
I took over a Pesach Seder for a neighbor who made this mistake. The wife asked me, can you please move in? He knocked himself out because he drove rov kos from his kos.
Yeah. I see it all the time. Mace. So now the question is it really enough to have one of a rova revias for the arba kosot, which is the way we misunderstood Shmuel? Doesn't it say in the Braita arba akosot halalu, tzorich shieba en kidei revi'it? The arba kosos has to be enough to have an entire revias. And that would mean Echad chai, v'echad mazuk, each one of these kosos has to have a revias. I don't care how you get that revias. You can get that revias out of having pure wine, if that's what you're going to drink, or you can have a revias of diluted wine, which is the norm. But you've got to have a revias. So then that would mean that Shmuel could not possibly have been saying all you need is a rova revias for the 4 cups. And I don't care whether we're talking about new wine or old wine. So echad chadash, the echad yashan. Now there's some very interesting pirushim on this. The Rashbam understands that echad chadash ve echad yashan are both bad wines. Echad Chadash means like grape juice, you know. And Echad Yashan means that the wine is old enough to have lost some of its flavor. And it's somewhere in the middle that we're talking about good wine. Others obviously understood Kepshuta, that the more aged the wine is, the more it's been sitting and it's been fermenting and it's been sitting in its barrels of all of that French flavored stuff, which, you know, must not be kosher. Anyway, that's what it's referring to, the Echad Chadash v'Echad Yashan. So we have two different pirushim on this. And it doesn't really matter. But you do definitely need to have a revius. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Tzorech she'ebo tam umar eyai. No, it definitely does matter, because we do want you to have a good, deep alcoholic taste. And it should look like wine. It should look nice red and not one of these wishy-washy kinds of wines or white wines. But katani miat, forget about that part, which we'll get back to, but it does say kedei revi'it, and you said all we need is a kos yafeh. So obviously we now understand that the Shmuel we must have misunderstood, but even if we'll apply him to each cup, it doesn't make sense, because why did he say only enough wine to mix a kos yafeh? No, that's the point, says the Gemara. It's the same thing. The meaning of kidei mezigas kos yafeh deka amar is in every single cup, you need to have at least a quarter of a revius of pure wine so that you will at least, when you go ahead and pour in the water, you will have a revius in that cup, which means that the entire four kosot, you would have the full shear of a revius of actual raw wine, full wine, undiluted wine. All right. Well, again, we'll discuss. There seems to be machlokes. We're showing him how to fit it into the lashon of the Gemara in what it is we thought in Havamina and how it is that we're metakin in the Maskana. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Now, next thing that we learned, just you mentioned in passing that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it has to look like wine. And it has to have the alcoholic taste of wine. And Amar Rava, that's because Rabbi Yehuda has a remez that he learns out from Mishle, that there's an inyan to the flavor and to the mara of the wine. Because Shlomo HaMelech is cautioning people from what wine does to you, which obviously is a reference to its alcoholic content. And he talks about not being attracted to what the wine does to you. And don't look at that delicious red color that just looks so appetizing. And I've got to have a little of that. So in other words, in the context of the pasuk, the seductive power of the wine is not only after it gets into your bloodstream, but it's part of its actual mara. And it says over there, when it's talking about the Mara, it says, don't look at that red wine that is so attractive. So we see that that is the meaning of the most beautiful way we would look at wine. It doesn't matter. The tikkun was for everybody, whether it's man, woman, or child. Echad anashim, echad nashim, echad tinokot, everybody after all. If the idea sha'af ema yuboto anes, so obviously the children were also taken out of Egypt, right? So therefore, if you're talking about male children, so then that makes sense. If you're talking about women, excuse me, remember the Rashbam understood that women is because the Ikernes was done through women. That's not what he learns here, obviously, in terms of Tinokot. So therefore, we explained it before, and I'll reiterate, that we need a special reason to override the issue of not being mechayev women in a mitzvah saseh shazman gorma. And it makes it difficult for them. But in this case, we feel compelled to be mechayev them. That's not enough because there is a basis for them to be involved in this mitzvah. It's because they're the ikar of the mitzvah, and then we have to go out of our way to be mechayev of them against the norm. Masha Inkin, we're talking about children, if the reference is to male children, it's sufficient to say that afeina yuboto anes, meaning they were also in danger of being exterminated for Purim, or they were in danger of being avadim or killed in Mitzrayim, or whatever. Says Rabbi Yehuda, that's crazy. Why are you giving kids wine? What good is wine for kids? Because, I mean, it's not as if they enjoy wine. Now, there's a question over here how to learn this. Does this mean because they're potter mi mitzvahs, which is the way the Rashbam learns, and that would mean that the Gemara in Rabbi Yehuda is referring to katan shelo igi alachinuch, but others learn, means that they don't enjoy the wine. And therefore, to be mechanic, we would be talking about a tinok that was higi alachinuch, and therefore, what we're saying is something much deeper. It isn't the act of drinking that is the chinuch, according to Rabbi Yehuda. It's the participation in the inyanim of the drinking, which includes the cheres, which includes the feeling high from the wine and so on. A child doesn't have that. So to say, go through the motions and put this liquid through your throat into your stomach, that's not chinuch, because that's not what it's about, which is a much deeper way of understanding. That's the way the Ran understands it. So it's not shayach that it would be derech cheres at all. So we were never mitaken. But that would mean that the Tanakama himself was only talking about tinokot, that is to say, ktanim, shehigiyu lichinuch. Elam bechalkinlam, what we do for the children, is we involve them as much as possible on their level. So hand out popcorns, you know? So kloyot, vegozim, berva pesach. Let them have candies and stuff that they like. That's like, obviously we'd have to be talking about nuts of some different kind or something that couldn't come lidei chimutz, and do this on Erev Pesach to keep them awake and interested. Kedei shelo yishnu, we don't want them to fall asleep. Their job is to ask questions. And that is totally natural. So to get a child to drive you crazy with questions is basically pretty easy, as long as you can keep them up and they're not busy watching TV. So give them klayot vegozim, and that way you'll have a nice Pesach. They say that Rabbi Akiva used to do this. Rabbi Akiva was the candy man on Erev Pesach, and he would run around giving out klayot vegozim letinakot Erev HaPesach. Can you imagine what a scene that must have been? All the kids coming to Rabbi Akiva, we'd love some of that candy. Kedei shelo yishnu v'yishalu. And we're going to see tomorrow that there were other hanhogas that people do, that we still do, that is because of this hanhog of keeping them up. Okay, Rabotai, so now I think we need to, once again, I thought I'd be finishing faster than I die. I don't know what is wrong with me. Maybe I just enjoy it too much, you know? I mean, it's like they're such fun dapim, and they're so nogea, I sort of can't control myself. Yeah, I know, but we're not doing what we're supposed to do. Okay. All right, so anyway, we've gotten up here. I think to the last thing that we discussed is the, we're talking about Tom, whether you're allowed to, okay, so getting to the Shir Balei Lugmav, I think we discussed yesterday the question if you happen to be Og Melech HaBashan and is the same Molei Lugmav here. I think we did that yesterday. I'm not going to go over that again. So the question over here is Lagabe, the Achila on Erev Pesach. I think we did, let's see, we got up to...
Rabbi, the last thing we did was discussions on Chaim Ravidina. During the Shir, Rabbi discussed Molei Lugmav, Tokadei the Shir.
Ah, uh-huh. Okay. No, I'm pretty sure that I went through even the details, the way the Rosh learns that even Og Melech HaBashan would be Kipshuta.
And that,
okay, fine. So then what we need to move on to, I think, is the question of, we got up to Samach L'Mincha yesterday. So the question is Halacha L'Maisa. Now, as you know, almost all of the poskim talk about Samach L'Mincha Ketana, because that seems to be the way that the sugya comes out. It's interesting that L'Maisa, the Ran paskins, even Bizman HaZeh, that it's still the original Gezerah because of the Karban Pesach. And because of that, you would not be allowed to eat a Se'uda from the time of Chatzos, because of the original Takana. And it means Samach L'Mincha Gedola, which is interesting because the Rambam doesn't say. He just says Samach L'Mincha, which is weird. And it could be that he does that because there's two separate inyanim. So, okay, the question is, what could you eat? So the Gemara said, Ochal Mine Targima. So those were dips. Those are specifically dips, however, according to Rashbam, without any bread. Remember that according to Tosis, which we talked about earlier, he says we're talking about egg matzah, because otherwise what else is the problem? Since Mine Targima is mutter, so the focus on the Yisr would only have been on egg matzah, and others learned that the focus would be on overeating. So even Mine Targina, overeating. Or others learn it's referring to any type of Maisa Kedera. And then we had Rav Yitzchak, who would actually dip veggies. Now, there is a question about whether cooked vegetables are considered to be misatsoid or not, and this is only a din on raw vegetables. And it's actually the Mishnah Berurah brings the Das of the Magen Avraham that's probably kedai to avoid eating, what's that Asian food? They cooked, gosh, I can't remember right now. Come on, guys. You fry up the vegetables with the noodles. What's with you guys? Talk to me. What? Stir fries. Okay, fine. Stir fry. So that would be a problem. Now, the question over here is also how to paskin about the wine and rava. So there's a big machlokas, as I said, because some learn that dafka, a lot of wine, is migra gorir, and not a little bit of wine. And we spoke about the problems in the sugya about that, because we didn't see that between the kosot, it's talking about a lot of wine. And in fact, the tur paskins, any amount of wine is okay. And some are somech on the tur because of the fact that this is a suffix. So therefore, we don't drink between the kosos unless you're going to be drinking tons and tons of wine. So because of that, we don't do it. Now, as far as what would be the din of if you eat without hasiba. So this is a real serious problem, because very often, like, you'll forget and you will have eaten half of the shear without hasiba or drunk half of the shear. Oh my gosh, yeah, I'm supposed to be mesiv. Are you yotze or not? So now the pashtus is, according to the Iker din, and this is the way the Rosh paskins, the Shulchan Aruch brings, you're not yotze. And if you're not yotze, you'd have to go back. And not only would you have to go back and eat it, but it would be considered to be a hefsik between your brocha and the achila. And you'd have to actually go and make another brocha. And the Mishnah Berurah brings this in the Bir Halacha. However, there's an interesting approach from the Rambam where it's mashma that it's too late. You were yotze in the wrong way. So therefore, according to him, it would make no sense to go back and do it in the right way, because it's like an additional chiyuv, but it's not, it can't be done separately from the chiyuv, which makes a lot of sense. If you already, yotze your chiyuv of matzah, so you're going to go back now and say, I'm going to eat just plain matzah, which is not for the chiyuv of matzah, and I'm going to eat that be'seba, and I'm going to be yotze, therefore a seba? I mean, you can see how that's silly, in a way. So, okay, so that represents a completely different approach. And there's also another very important thing to add to your considerations. These are complex halachas. We have complex halachas. You have to take various shitas into consideration in coming to a psak. The Ravya's shita is that at a time or society where leaning is not considered to be derech eres, and where that is not the way that people eat, that there is no chiyav of hasiba at all. So if you take that into consideration, along with any other suffix here, so you at least will have a suffix bracha, so therefore not actually make a bracha if you're going to be doing it, because according to some, you don't have to do it even lichatchila. So the fact is, I mean, the Rama actually brings this, that there are those who will be semich on this, that at least b'diavad, if they were already, I would say they won't go back to eat again, based on the Ravi, and obviously not with a bracha. So the Rama paskins, it's kedai to do it again, but to do it without a bracha. The question is, when it comes to the kosot, you have an additional suffix. So now we have a sveik-sveika, because in the kosot, we're not sure whether the first two kosot were the ones that required it, or the second two kosot were the ones that require it. So now we've got even more issues that we have to throw into our mix. And putting it all together, together with the Ravya, and together with the question of the Rambam, so then for sure by the Kosot, it's not Kedai. Maybe the Taina, the Kosot Rishonot, it's connected to the Achilas Matzah, Maybe over there, yes, to be machmer. So as you can see, there's a lot of leeway in this. As far as the minig of the Svarnim is concerned, so the Rav Avadya Yosef Paskin, because of the sheet of the Shulchan Aruch, that you should go back, and on all four kosos, you should go back and drink it, unless it's really hard for you to be drinking all that extra wine. Even according to the Ravya, however, many bring that it's all very nice to say that the minig is no longer to eat leaning, but certainly the minig is, there are certain things that are part of the minig of how to eat, including not eating standing up, not eating while you're walking, not eating while you're sitting on a bench and you're uncomfortable, you can't even lean back. So many taina, that would mean even bisman hazeh, if you ate in those fashions, it would be bichlal, not considered to be a proper achila according to any shita. That's our Shlomo Zalman Paskin, and that you would have to go back, and you couldn't be semech on the shita of the Ravya in that case. Now, there's also big machlokas, which we'll get to later when we talk about the Afikomen, about what exactly the chiev of the Afikomen is. The Rush learns that you must eat the Afikomen b'hasiva, and certainly, I mean, according to, as we'll see, the Rashbam and the Rashi, they learn that the ikar of the chiyav of achilas matzah belayla is the afikomen, which explains why we're so careful about being able to eat that matzah b'teyavon. They learn, as we'll see next week, actually, more than next week, but as we'll see before Pesach at least, that that's the ikar of the matzah, of the mitzvah, and if that's the case, the matzah's mitzvah, this is how the Shulchan Aruch understands it, because of that, you would require a siva for sure. The Rambam doesn't understand it that way, and because of that, sometimes you wouldn't. And that really makes it very problematic. If you forgot a siva for your afikomen, where you just barely managed to get down your afikomen, do you need to go back and eat the afikomen again? Anyway, there's questions of whether you could be sobek on all of these different shitas. Okay. For the Achila of the Korban Pesach itself this year, you certainly would require Hasiva, which would mean that for the Zecher LeMikdash Kehillel, once upon a time was only a Zecher, so that you would also require Hasiva in those days before we had a Korban Pesach. And that also many hold, according to the Rama, is that there's a mitzvah to be Mesev the entire meal, because you're supposed to be eating Derech Cheres. So even if you're eating something else, you should be eating derecheres l'chatchila. And in fact, the Rambam brings, it's a very interesting lashon of the Rambam. Sometimes he's so sweet. What he says is, im hesev harei ze mishubach. It's a very wonderful thing, but im lav eino tzorech. What does that mean? Im lav eino tzorech. I mean, obviously, if you're saying harei ze mishubach, so then what's im lav eino tzorech? So many learn that the Rambam, in his sweet way, is telling you, look, you know, if it's really hard to do it, if not, forget about it, which is literally the way people would communicate. Okay, if not, you know, it's not a problem. Don't worry about it. So even though he puts this together with the mitzvah min amufcher, so it's meshubach, to do it that way. There's a big machlokas about, I shouldn't say big machlokas, because there's only one shita that I know of that disagrees with this. And that is when you're reading, you're doing the mitzvahs of kriyas. You're reading the Haggadah, or you're saying the brachas on the things that you are going to be mesev for. Do you say the bracha b'seva? So actually, Reb Shlomo Zalman says no, because you're supposed to be in a matzav of meira shamayim at kovid rosh at the time that you're saying over your avodah. So do not be mesiv, because the derech cheres is showing a little bit too much independence. That's the whole inyan of Talmid Eitz Rabbo. So everybody is Talmid Eitz Rabbo when he's coming to be mevorech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore in those places you shouldn't. There's only one rishon that I know of that says dafka, anything that is connected with what is going to require a seva itself requires a seva, and that is the Meiri, who says to be mesiv on everything. By the way, if you ate your maror b'seva, are you yotzei? Yes, you are yotzei. And actually, the Pri Chodesh says you're even allowed to lechatchila. Okay, so you shouldn't think that since it's not derech cheres, that you would pasul the maror. Then we had the question of using your left side or prakdan. So basically, as we say, if the tzad is, as we mentioned when we were learning, if the reason that you can't be basif b'tzad small is because you need to leave your right hand free for achila, then obviously it would be different if you were a lefty, because then you would want to leave your left hand free. Mash ein kein, if the issue is the sakana, so then there wouldn't be any difference. Since the sakana is a serious issue, and we're always very machmir on sakana, so la halacha, we paskin that you should only lean to your left hand, even if you are a lefty. But the Mishnah Berurah brings that if you are a lefty and you leaned towards your right, then in addition to the other sfeikas that we had about the ravya and so on and so forth, this is an additional component in your sfeikas, and therefore you would be b'niavad, you would be yotze based on these other sfeikas as well. As far as leaning on other people, as I said, don't lean on your own lap because it looks like you're sad. It looks like it's a minig of avelis. Lean on the next person that is next to you. And we spoke about Isha Chashuva, and I guess we better wait till tomorrow, because I'm keeping you too long. There's a bad boy again. I hang my head, but I hope you're all are Michael, so that we can get to the bottom of all these halachas. You'd be surprised how often weird things come up at the Seder, where people really do forget to do this kind of thing, remember in the middle, or they come up with these shilas. It's good to go over these dinim before. It's not all just theory.